Before we get to episode 125, I'd like to take a couple of seconds to ask for your support of the Keystone Chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania. Go to icantseeyou.com/coffee and make a purchase at the White Cane Coffee Company. That purchase will earn the Keystone Chapter a 10% commission. I really appreciate your support. Thank you so much.
From Studio B in Swarthmore, this is the I Can't See You podcast with David. It's like blind people for dummies.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 125 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for today's episode, and it's a solo episode today, no interview, no guests. And let me know if you would, if you like when I have a guest on, and I will try to have more if you do, and I'm just not quite sure. Usually I get higher downloads when I do have someone else on, because obviously when someone is on, they tell their friends and say stuff on social media, hey, I was just on this podcast, take a listen, and so forth and so on. So that is a reason that I do it, but it's not always the case that I have people on, and it's obviously a little more difficult when I have somebody on because of competing schedules and trying to fit them in and things like that. But obviously, as in with Stacy's episode last week when I talked to Stacy Leap, that's episode 124. Go back and take a listen. You know, it's a great story that she has, and I'd like to let folks know about those. And so it is enjoyable to me. And so I will try to continue to have guests unless I get an overwhelming majority of folks that just don't like them. Not the people that I have on, just guests in general. Because believe me, Stacy is a very nice person. Today's episode, I want to talk about change. And I know I've talked about it in the past and how difficult sometimes it is for me. And I've got a couple other things to talk about, but I want to talk about change first. When Dan and I launched digital graphics design back in June of 2004, we talked about another service we could provide that would kind of go hand in hand with doing, you know, web design and graphic design and, you know, doing business cards and things like that. And when we talked about it, the thing that we thought we would do that would make most sense, and Dan was right, it was web hosting. So we added web hosting because obviously when you have a new customer that needs a new website, what do they also need? They need a place to put that website. So web hosting was the perfect tie-in. And so we started with a reseller account at HostGator. HostGator at the time was an independent company based in Houston, and I think they're still based there. I'm not 100% sure, but they've been purchased, I believe, more than once, and the company now that owns HostGator owns a bunch of the other big name web hosting companies. So they're kind of all the same. Well, when we signed up for HostGator, one of the ways, you know, obviously when, you know, 2004, people used mobile phones, but not so much like a smartphone. There weren't as many smartphones out there then. And I don't quite remember when the iPhone came out, but you know, when you were traveling, you still had to have a laptop on you, and there had to be a way, an easy way to check for email via the web. And so HostGator had this great, easy to remember webpage that you could go to check your email via webmail. And it was called, you know, obviously enough, webmail.hostgator.com. So for the past 17 years, I've gone there to check email even when I'm home, because whatever software they used at that page on their site was A, easy for me to read by zooming in, and B, you could delete an email without opening it. Now, I don't know if it's still the case, and maybe I'm clinging to technology from the 90s, but when you open an email, if it's spam, you usually you see an onslaught of additional spam from that sender, because it's, you know, when you send email and it gets open, you get all that, all those statistics when you use, you know, a service that sends, you know, bulk email. You know, we saw it with both digital graphics when we were doing work for some of our clients. And I saw it with salon supplies and interiors when I used Constant Contact. You know, you can see a lot of things. You can see, you know, how many people opened it percentage-wise and individual number-wise, and then what links in the email specifically were clicked. And it was great to see that. So I don't know if that's still the case when you open an email, if that leaves you more susceptible to getting additional spam, if it's spam, getting more spam from that sender or not. But it was just a lot easier going to that page than trying to figure out how to get rid of the spam, because I know in my email client on the Mac, which is just the mail, it's just called mail, when I click on something even to delete it, even if I right click it, it opens it. And so I've just, you know, it's one of my daily rituals. And I have so many emails that are hosted by us, by Digital Graphics, that I will sometimes in the morning before I, you know, go through the mail, and this is before Ziggy because I don't go on the computer now until until usually either now to do my podcast or usually not until Liz is home, so Ziggy doesn't have to stay in the cage, and he has not really come down to Studio B too often because it's just, you know, there's just stuff everywhere and he eats everything. Again, the only thing he doesn't like are snow peas, but everything else is... So he loves. So, you know, I would check it in the morning before I'd even open my email program. So then I would get rid of the spam. So there was just less for me to look at and go through. Because as my vision has gotten worse over the years, it's just become more difficult, you know, to see this stuff. And unlike the email message itself, in any email client that I've used, you can't change the size of the font in the, you know, in the preview pane, meaning the, you know, where you see the sender's name and you see the subject line and the how big the file is and the date it was received and so forth and so on. That you can't change. So that's why going to webmail.hostgator.com was great. You know, and again, I probably would check easily half a dozen to a dozen accounts a day, because, you know, of all the different websites we run or control. It's also been helpful to Liz because when she's at school, instead of having to use her phone to check her email for her ICan'tSeeYou.com account, she can use the webmail, you know, because she doesn't, you know, it's a school's computer. She obviously is not going to put that, you know, put the email on, you know, that computer where somebody else may, you know, have access to it. So a couple of weeks ago, she said to me, you know, I can't get to the webmail. I said, oh, really? So I said, let me try. And I got to this page that said, you know, you have to do this and that and the other to get webmail. And, you know, so now instead of going to webmail.hostgator.com, you go to any one of the sites that you manage or control or own or whatever. And like I said, there's, you know, there's a bunch of them that we have that we host through our reseller account, as well as some clients that are hosted with us. And so, for example, you would go to ICan'tSeeYou.com/webmail and then punch in your email address and your password, and you could get in and check your email. And that would work even if you were using, you know, david@foryoursalon.com. You just have to get to the system to get to the webmail. And then once you type in your email address and the proper password, you're in. The problem comes once you're in. You have two choices for email. One is called Horde and one is called RoundCube. And they may be great software programs or applications, whatever you want to call them. But neither of them, for me, work. And it is so frustrating that I've been, for the last 10 days or so, I've been trying to find a solution to the point where, you know, it was one of the things that kept me with Host Gator. I haven't been happy with a couple of other things. And, you know, I've been talked back from the brink a couple of times of switching. And the last time I had an issue, maybe a week before all the email stuff happened, I had an issue and I was able to get assistance, but the way the guy gave me assistance, he was professional, but he was almost condescending. Like I was new at doing this and I didn't know what I was doing, which I didn't. You know, but just the way he spoke to me, I just didn't appreciate it. And I thought, you know what? It's such a hassle to move. There's probably about 20 or 25 domains that I would have to move, you know, websites that I'd have to move. And when you move a website, it's just, you know, it's like when you move a house. When we moved from our house in Media to the condo, things ended up getting lost. You know, we had people help us clean out our house and things that were supposed to go into a move pile ended up in a trash pile. And we didn't realize it until, you know, after we had moved, we're like, hey, where's the convection oven? And, you know, we don't know. So the same thing goes when you move a website, you know, things are going to be a little bit different, whether this box isn't checked or is checked. And I think I've mentioned it in the past, signing up for Google Analytics, when I start a new website, you know, there's this one box that you have to check so you can use the old analytics, which is the number begins with a UA and then a hyphen and then a number. The new way they do it, it's a little bit different, but some hosts don't have a way to easily use that analytics number yet. And you'd have to program it in, which I'm not that tech savvy to do. The other way, when you have a UA number, usually you can just either use a plugin or there's another way of just adding this very easily. You copy the UA number, you plop it into a text field, and you're good to go. And you've got analytics. So, you know, for that reason, I've been hesitant to switch. They've also been increasing their rates. You know, when we first started out, I think we were paying about, okay, now I'm starting to sound like my dad because like I said, it's been 17 years. So when we first started, I think the first few months or first year, it was less than $20 a month. And, you know, and again, that was for a smaller package because we obviously were just starting out. We only hosted a few sites on it. You know, to its height, we probably hosted, you know, I don't know, 50 to 75 sites. Some of them mine and you know, obviously the digital graphics site and some of them affiliate sites and then some of them from clients. Well, as things grew, we had to increase our package to the point where we're paying about $49 a month now for hosting. We have fewer clients and fewer websites, but we still can't. We just have a little bit too much to go back to that initial package that we had, and I think it was called the aluminum plan, and we're now at the copper plan. So I've been hesitant to switch because I just know it's a headache. I just know I'm asking for trouble. You know, I'm most worried about ICan'tSeeYou.com and about the client websites. The other websites that I host, affiliate sites, I could back up and probably, you know, get them back up and running in a few days. But obviously, you know, if they're making some money, I don't want them down for any stretch of time. But at this point, I don't have any that are making huge amounts of money. So when I start a new site now I look for hosting elsewhere. And I end up spending, you know, for a site that I started last summer, I want to say I spent, you know, for the year, I want to say I spent, you know, close to $150. And that's just for one site. That's just for the one site. And then I know when I renew, it's going to, you know, be close to double that because they always get you with a good deal the first year. So I've started to look a little bit, but again, I'm hesitant to switch because I know it's just a hassle and a headache. So with the email situation, and I just don't think I could get it across. I've messaged them a few times and we've gone back and forth and none of them know which software was used for the old webmail. Nobody could, you know, again, because it's so old. And I've been told in the past when I was having an issue, oh no, you don't do that. That's, you know, I said, listen, I said, you know, at the time, I think it was a couple of years ago, I said, you know, I've been a host for 15 years. I've been with you. And, you know, this is where we were told to go. I mean, new people didn't even know it was there. You know, and that was the problem when the people that I've talked to via Twitter or chat or whatever, they don't know. And when you call on the phone, you know, they also don't know, even though they've been there a little bit longer. So for me to get, because of my eyesight, to figure out how to make it work, you know, how to use the software in a way, for example, both Horde and Roundcube are set up very similarly where, you know, again, it's got, you know, it's got a couple of graphics. One is a star that I guess it's kind of like flagging it or making it a favorite. I don't even know. But the boxes that you check to delete them are very dim. So even, you know, even when I zoom all the way in, I can't see it. So to try and do that, and then I was trying, I don't remember which one, I was trying to highlight a few of them at a time, and it just wasn't working. And again, with the old way, there was just a checkbox. I could just go down the list and say, nope, I don't want to open that. I don't want to read that. I'm just going to delete it. And then once I clicked the boxes of all the ones I wanted to delete, I hit the delete button, boom, they're in the trash. And then just emptied the trash and I'm good to go. So when I was trying the other day, the final straw with both of them the other day was whichever one I was using, I highlighted a bunch and I deleted, I don't know, you know, half a dozen to a dozen. But yet they were still there in my inbox. I didn't know how to move them from the inbox to the trash or get rid of them completely. You know, there's, with the old way, there was a way that I could search and, you know, pull them up. You know, I've mentioned before that I would love to move overseas in the future. And I get a newsletter called International Living. Well, they send so many emails out that every quarter or so, I delete the whole lot of them, except for the one that welcomed me in and showed, you know, said, here's your password. It, you know, didn't give me the password. You've, you know, successfully entered your password or whatever. You know, I keep that and a couple of the initial emails, but I get rid of all the other emails that they send. You know, sometimes I do it monthly, sometimes quarterly. I mean, but it's a lot. They send, you know, two or three a day. And mostly trying to sell something, which is also infuriating, but that's a story for another day. You know, I like the articles. I like reading about these overseas places. You know, I'm not looking to move to some of the places they talk about, but I just like it. I've mentioned before, I love House Hunters International, and I'll get to that in a second with my second little story of the day. So, you know, it's now become such an issue with the email that I don't rush to get to my emails. I try and go through them on a daily basis. But, you know, like I said, I think I have in my email client, I think it downloads 14 different email accounts. You know, some of them I've set up because of affiliate stuff. You know, for example, I have affiliate@dgdesign.net. I have affiliate@icantseeyou.com. I've got for my affiliate websites, I have staff at the different site names. You know, I also have staff at dgdesign.net. You know, things that I could use when I don't want to use my typical email, like for DG Design, is david@dgdesign. You know, and this way, so I've got all these emails coming in. Since we got Ziggy, I went from maybe having, 50 to 60 unread emails sitting there and on any given day after I've gone through them to now I have over 500 now, because I don't know how to get rid of them because I don't want to open them. So it's just difficult, and change. And it made me think back to when I was in school. They would say, one of the teachers that I had would say, as you get older, you get more conservative. You don't like change. And I wasn't sure if this is what she was talking about, but it is just so difficult to try and figure stuff out like that, that it's just not easy when when you're trying to figure it out and then, you can't see it. I know change isn't easy for anyone, but it just makes everything long. Everything takes longer. Just makes everything take longer. And as I've mentioned, I know more than a few times, for me, with my lack of vision, everything takes longer to begin with. And it's just frustrating. What I'm trying now, and I'm seeing if it's worked. I just tried it a few days ago. I downloaded another email client called Thunderbird, which I used to use in the past, and I actually liked. And I don't know why it's taken me this long to put it on my computer here for all the email accounts that I don't use in my main email client. And by the way, I don't have David@dgdesign.net in my main email client, because I wanted to keep them separate so that I wouldn't lose if digital graphics, if I got an email from a client or a potential client, I didn't want to lose it within all the other email addresses and emails that were coming in. So I downloaded Thunderbird. It's by Mozilla. People make Firefox. And there are some things that I really like about it. And one of the things is it looks like I can delete files without actually opening them. I'm not 100% sure. I set them up to, not mark them as read for 20 seconds. So I don't know if that's enough time to go through and delete them and make it look like they haven't been opened. I don't know. So we'll see. And it's just like I've mentioned previously, with other things, mostly computer related, when somebody has an update, whether it's WordPress or one of the themes that I'm using to do a website, sometimes they move a button that might have been on the left-hand side of the main screen to the right-hand side of the main screen. They may well have put that on another page because it takes me forever to find it. I'm still looking for one that that I want to make sure is checked every time I start a new site, and I still haven't found it. So it's just difficult with, same thing like I mentioned earlier today with Google Analytics. It's just difficult. It just makes things difficult and just makes everything take longer at a time when I don't have a lot of time on the computer. When I was going to bed last night, I was thinking, I was only on the computer for probably 2.5 hours today. It was with the dog most of the day during the day. And then at night, I hang out with Liz and Jane and Jacob if he's not working or decides to join us while we watch some TV. And then usually once Liz goes to sleep, Jane and I will watch something on TV together. If Liz goes to sleep early enough, which she usually does, it usually gives me time to go on the computer for maybe half an hour to an hour before Jane and I watch something, because Jane is still busy working. Sometimes she'll work while we're watching something on TV. And congratulations to Jane, by the way. I don't think I mentioned it last week. She got a promotion last week and a very nice bump in salary. So congratulations to her. And she's looking forward to getting back into New York City and back into an apartment that she's paid for. Well, two different apartments that she's paid for since she came back down here and has been working from home in March of 2020. So it'll be nice to actually live in the place that she's paid for. As I mentioned before, she didn't even live in her last apartment and spent not one night there. So she's looking, the apartment she has now is downtown in the financial district, very close to her office. And So yeah, I think she's getting excited to get back there, and we get our second Moderna jabs tomorrow, so I'm hoping things go well. But, you know, just to close out the change thing, it's just, you know, because of the limited time that I have, I don't want to spend a lot of time just going through emails. I want to try and get some work done on affiliate sites. I want to, you know, do some other website work that I can't do on the main level because I don't have a computer there that I can see. And that's, you know, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, you know, someone told me, hey, you should really use VoiceOver. And I you know, I'm more receptive to that now. But I still, because I'm with the dog and I'm, you know, constantly running around with him and playing with him and keeping him happy and keeping him out of things. And, you know, I still don't know that I'd have a lot of time. Usually when I do have a few seconds of downtime with him, I usually go on my phone, check emails, you know, read the ones that I don't care too much about or that may be urgent to respond to. And then, you know, do the rest when I have more time. And also I have a couple of minutes to, you know, to go to news sites on the web or whatever. But, you know, I've never edited a website on my phone. And I don't know that I'd want to do that because I just don't think it would end well. So as I mentioned, before I closed off the change bit, there are things that I have to do that, you know, I know is going to take me a certain amount of time. And because it's hard for me to start and stop, if, for example, Liz comes home, and that's what it boils down to, I either have to, when she comes home, I have to, if I want some human interaction with her before she falls asleep or whatever, you know, it's got to be then, because after that, you know, she's making dinner. And by the way, dinner, I should probably record when she makes dinner, because I am also on dinner duty. Not that I really help her much. I am on, you know, guarding the food on the counter while she steps to the, you know, turns around and maybe puts something in a pot or a pan. I'm watching the dog. And, you know, we've tried a few things. And they haven't worked out well. So we're hoping that changes shortly, and I'll get to that in a minute. You know, so I really have the only time that I'm on the computer, like I said, maybe before Jane and I watch something, and it boils down to maybe Jane and I shouldn't be watching anything and I should just be down here doing some work. And then, you know, after Jane and I finish watching something, which usually, you know, my pattern is we finish watching something, I may watch the local news, and then I will come back downstairs for a couple of hours, then go upstairs and do the dishes, and then go to bed. If I do the dishes early enough, I'll come back down to the computer, but usually I don't do them early enough, and, you know, there's not enough time. And, you know, it's hard for me, again, to start something, and then when I get back at the computer, figure out what I'm at. So usually when I do a task, I start it, and I finish it. I'm not talking about a whole website. I'm not saying I'd sit down and do an entire website, but whatever I do, whatever component I make of that site, I want to start it and finish it before I step away from the computer, because then, you know, it takes me, you know, maybe 10 minutes to figure out exactly where I've stopped. And I'm not sure that's a vision thing, or a combination of vision and age. So I don't know. So I mentioned Ziggy, and just a brief note about him, and I was thinking about it today. You know, if he were, at this stage, if he were a human, I'd be worried about him stealing a car in another 6 months, you know, because a dog ages obviously a lot quicker than humans do. But he's to the point where sometimes he is so bad with some of the things he does. I told you about the knife last week, and you know, today I came downstairs, I had to run up to the bathroom, and I came back downstairs and I knew he had something in his mouth because he was running away from me. I couldn't see what it was, but I knew it was something that he shouldn't have. So instead of chasing him around, which he loves and is fun when he has something that is okay for, that we don't worry about, earlier in the day, Liz's sister had come over to drop some books off for her class. And, you know, we came out in the backyard so, you know, we could meet outside and, you know, Ziggy wouldn't try to get out. And, you know, he found an empty water bottle on the ground and he was running around with that. And I didn't, you know, Liz's sister said, oh, he's got a water bottle. He just got to be careful about the cap. You know, he knew he shouldn't have it. I knew he shouldn't have, but it was a closed water bottle. And, you know, so I chased him, which he loves. He just loves that. So, you know, I was thinking about it, you know, like I said, at this, you know, in another 6 months, he'll be of the age where if you're a bad kid, you're thinking about stealing a car or whatever. So, but he's starting training on Sunday. So we're very excited about that. So we're hoping that we can stop the counter surfing. Last week, at one point, he started at one end of the counter, and it's about, the island is about 8 feet, 7 or 8 feet, I guess closer to eight. He started at one end of the counter up on it, and he walked on two legs all the way down to the other end. And that was the first time we saw him do that. Sometimes he'll do like a good 4 foot section where he kind of just jumps up and then kind of slides and doesn't really move his hind legs. This one, he actually had to move his hind legs and kind of just ran along holding on like, you know, like a little baby when they learn to walk, they hold on with one hand or two hands and then they keep walking. He did that. It was hysterical. And I'm sorry, I didn't have video of that. The other thing that's happening this weekend besides the training, his siblings, some of his siblings are getting together on Sunday. So we are hoping to do that. It'll depend on how I feel after the second jab, which I just said, you know, Jane and I are getting tomorrow afternoon. You know, I got a pretty busy weekend coming up, so I'm hoping I feel okay because we have a memorial service to go for my friend Chris Dougherty on Saturday afternoon. And then Sunday morning, we have the dog training. And Sunday afternoon, we have the, you know, the get together. And Ziggy just doesn't get around dogs a lot. You know, when he was able to, once he had all the shots, you know, he had the surgery. It was, you know, 2 weeks after he had his shots, he had surgery. So, you know, we had him out on a walk yesterday and there was another person walking their dog that would have been a great, you know, fit for the two to get to meet each other. But the person walking this other dog, which Liz told me was a husky, right before they came up to us, the woman had stepped on the dog's foot. So the dog was a little out of sorts and you know, they kind of sniffed each other passing by, Ziggy and this other dog, and we kept going and we were a little disappointed because that would have been a nice little meetup. So our fingers are crossed that the training goes well and that we can get together with the dogs because I'm just interested in seeing them. And as I've mentioned before, we have a Facebook group of the siblings. Some of the things these other dogs do, it's hysterical. One lady posted, the dog loves to blow bubbles in their water bowl. And it is just hysterical. Ziggy doesn't do that. He grabs knives. Maybe funny as long as nobody gets hurt, but not as funny as watching the dog blow bubbles in their water bowl. And it's just kind of funny how different they are in some things, and then some things they do, they all do the same. You know, one of their traits is laying on their backs when they sleep. And the breeder who is also on that site has one of the puppies from the litter, as well as obviously the mother from the litter. You know, it posted, yeah, you know, the mother likes to sleep like that too. So it's just kind of funny. So hopefully we'll have that because that'll obviously make for some good stories next week, on next week's podcast. Next week's podcast, he said. lastly, something kind of exciting that I'm really looking forward to. I'm not sure that I've even mentioned it over the past, couple of months. I've been thinking about doing another podcast along with this one. And, you know, I've gotten to the point where this one, you know, I know who my audience is with this one and, you know, it's grown to a degree, but you know, it's not breaking any doors down. And it's, you know, I know it's a limited, I don't know if you want to call it a limited audience. You know, maybe folks don't want to listen because they don't care about how blind people do things. But I thought about doing another one, and I'll get to the one that I'm really considering. But in the meantime, with my friend Lisa, we are going to launch, and I guess you can't call it a podcast from the beginning, because until it's actually an MP3 that gets sent out via an RSS feed, it's just an audio file. And it's going to be something that initially resides on the NFB of Pennsylvania's website. And it's going to be an NFB-centric, actually, it's going to be an NFB of Pennsylvania-centric podcast. So most of you most likely won't be too interested, because we're going to talk about things that are happening in the different chapters and that are different folks in the organization and things that they've done. You know, initially Lisa and I will host it, and obviously we'll have interviews, and I've been on Lisa to start a podcast for quite a while now, and hopefully she'll get going. Besides this one, we had our Keystone chapter meeting last week, and we had a guest. And this guest, she was probably the best guest that we've ever had at a meeting. And I'm not putting any of the other guests down, because, you know, we've had great ones. You know, my friend Max Ivy was one of them, and we've had some other good ones. But this girl that we had on was just outstanding. She's the director of communications at the Overbrook School for the Blind. And she had a lot of great ideas. She spoke very intelligently about fundraising, and it was so useful. She explained it like John Madden used to explain football to folks, and why everybody understood what was going on. And I guess that equivalent would be Tony Romo, if you follow football. You know, he explains it so you understand what's going on. So the way she explained it and the tips that she gave, and I'm going to try and have her on an upcoming episode of this podcast, because besides all that, besides being the director of communications at the school, she has also been a Paralympian and competed in for the U.S. in many events as a distance runner. And it was just outstanding. But Lisa started talking to her and asking her questions, and I texted her. You know, at one point it was just basically the exchange was just between this girl and Lisa, and I texted Lisa while the girl was answering. I said, this is a perfect example of why you should have your own podcast. And I mean, it was just outstanding, you know, and just, you know, I thought about her talking to this person and then me talking to, whether it was Stacy last week, you know, she's just a much better interviewer than I am. And that was the bottom line. So we're going to be launching that next month in June. We are doing a naming, we're asking for naming suggestions, and I came up with one that, after hearing the one that I like better, I don't like it at all anymore. I came up with the White Cane Connection. The tagline will be something like putting a spotlight on blind Pennsylvanians or something like that. You know, we'll work on that, and we may have to, you know, kick that around a little bit as well. But we got one suggestion, and I love it, and it's called Insight. INSIGHT, which, you know, has that play on words with, you know, it's a blind, it's a blind podcast. It's got the word sight in it. You know, it made me think of Carrie and Brian from Outlook, who I talked to, I guess it's been about a year now, you know, for the Canadian brother and sister that have the show up in, Ontario that goes out, you know, first as a radio show and then is, you know, as a podcast. You know, so I love that name. And so hopefully we'll get that going. Initially, it's only going to be on a monthly basis, kind of like a newsletter, basically an audio newsletter. You know, there's so much that we could talk about. I'm sure before too long, we'll be doing it weekly. You know, there's just obviously so many topics, so many people to talk to. We're going to try and keep it to a half an hour, as I usually like to do with this. And, You know, I'm well, well past that now. So that's something that we're working on, and I'm excited for that because it'll be nice to have a co-host and someone else to handle some of the things that now I do all on my own for this show. You know, obviously I do the outreach to talk to folks to try and get them to come on. I do the editing, which I try to do as little as possible. But there was an issue, and I don't think I mentioned it in last week's show. There was an issue. I had a coughing fit when I was talking to Stacy, and, you know, I had to cut out a big chunk, and, you know, I ended up doing it. Let me know if you caught where I cut that out, because I thought I did a great job, not to pat myself on the back too much. So it'll be nice to have, have that, not having the whole burden of doing the outreach and setting things up. And so I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully after a while, and I'm thinking, and both Lisa and I were thinking that at some point Simon would want to jump in on this. And, you know, it'll depend, I guess, with him if he can do it without having to move away from Blind Abilities, because, you know, Blind Abilities to me is the flagship of podcasts for the blind. So, if you ever want to listen, I mean, that is the one. And he does a lot of episodes on that. He's not the main or the only host, but he does a lot on that. But, you know, he's starting college in the fall, so who knows how much time he's going to have to do anything else. And as well as his role in the NFB of Pennsylvania as the president of the students division. So he's got a lot on his plate already, but hopefully he'll be able to jump in and do some episodes and interviews and things like that as well. We haven't told him yet. And Simon, if you're listening, there's the official ask. So that's going on. But I've mentioned before that I've wanted to, or maybe I haven't, that I wanted to do another podcast. And I've been going back and forth. Do I want to do it on sports? And there are a million sports podcasts. And I don't know how great I would be at that, because I don't know the players like I used to, in any sport. I don't know how much fun that would be constantly talking about it. Now, on the flip side of that, I would love to interview all these different players and coaches and managers and broadcasters and whatnot who bring that sort of thing. So I think that would be cool. I also have kicked around doing a music one. Now, the problem with music podcasts, you can't play the music. It's just, you got a better chance of getting struck by lightning than being able to use music on a podcast. It's just very difficult. There's all sorts of hoops, like I said. So I don't know how receptive that would be to folks. You know, I bought a domain name a few years ago, expecting that at some point in time I would start a alternative rock podcast. Alt Attic is the domain name that I bought. I still have it. When I buy a domain, I typically don't give it up. And when I do, I get mad because then I see somebody else grabs it and then puts it for sale for thousands of dollars. I did that years ago with, I think it was called lowvisionhelp.com. And there was another one. And lowvisionhelp.com, I think if you look now, I think somebody's selling it for a couple thousand bucks. And I'm mad that I got rid of that. That one would have been a good one to hang on to. But I thought I wasn't going to use it, so I got rid of it. And now, because of that, now I have like 75 domain names. Some are clients that we've purchased the domain for them, that we control the domain name. Most of them, though, are either affiliate sites for me or different sites, that I've either built or just domain names sitting there with nothing on them. So another thing that I like, besides sports and alternative rock, is traveling specifically internationally and, like I said, moving abroad. So I thought, wouldn't it be cool to do a podcast? Like I said, one of my favorite shows is House Hunters International. Wouldn't it be cool to do a podcast of talking to the folks on House Hunters International? Because sometimes if you've ever seen the show, whether it's that show or just the House Hunters, you know, the one that takes place in the US, where the people, the couples they seem like there's no way that once they settle on this house, there's no way they're going to stay together. And so it would just be interesting to see, you know, going back. And they've done it recently with on the show itself, where they've run episodes, you know, where are they now? And there was one that I watched. It was a Canadian couple, and they were moving to they're moving to England, where they split up. The guy moved back to Canada, and the girl stayed in London. And, you know, I just thought it would be cool to see, as well as to get an idea of how it was shooting the show, how it was dealing with the real estate agent, how it was, you know, with all the different paperwork. And, you know, and then I thought, well, why does it have to be just the interviews with the House Hunters people? It could be about moving abroad. You know, again, something I'm interested in, something I want to learn more. You know, you could talk to, I know I've mentioned her before, Adrienne Leeds. I thought, 1 month you could focus on either a country, or 1 week and do multiple episodes in a week. You know, I think there's just a greater audience out there for that. Just like there is for, the NFB, podcast that Lisa and I are going to kick off next month. You know, there's a built-in audience for the NFB, because, you know, I don't remember what the total is of, you know, members of the NFB of Pennsylvania, but, you know, you won't be starting from zero, because you're doing it for an organization that has, I don't know, hundreds of members, maybe more. You know, so there's just a greater audience and a greater, depending on what we talk about, I'm sure folks from other states, blind folks in other NFB affiliates and chapters, will want to listen. So, you know, so there's a greater audience built in, and you would launch with higher numbers than what I launched with. I don't remember what my first few episodes got, but, you know, I know they were small fractions of what I get now, and I don't get much now either. You know, I also think that doing something that's a little, I don't want to say broader topic, because, you know, moving, you know, not everybody wants to move overseas. I mean, I have a name picked out. I'm not going to say it now until I get the domain name, because I was looking last night for what I could do for Insight. And again, we don't know that 100% that that's going to be the name, because, you know, we're giving it a couple of weeks to hear submissions. But I really like that one. And, you know, at this point, you know, of the ones we received and the ones we've come up with on our own, that to me is the best one. And I kind of think Lisa's on board. And the only other one that gets a vote is Lynn, who is the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania. So, so we'll see. But, you know, it would just offer a greater opportunity for me to have something that I want to talk about and talk to people that I, you know, that I'd like to talk about, as well as having an opportunity to monetize that once I grow it enough to where it's something that not only pays for itself, which this podcast, by the way, does not, if you were wondering, you know, and maybe I should sell ads on it instead of doing, you know, the NFB plug at the beginning for the White Cane Coffee Company. Again, you know, that's not why I started the I Can't See You podcast. I started it because I want to show sighted folks what blind folks can do, and, you know, some of the things that we have to go through. And one of them is to help, you know, the White Cane Coffee, you know, plug that I give, not only helps the Keystone chapter, you know, with that 10% commission, but also helps a small business that, you know, everybody knows what happens to small business, or what's happened to small business over the last year and change. You know, I want to make sure they survive, because it's so important that person who started White Cane Coffee Company is, you know, is a blind woman who, you know, started in business around the same age that I started. I was a little bit younger, you know, when I opened the West Coast Video in Brookhaven. But that was a franchise. That was the plans were pretty much laid out. I didn't have to source as many things as she has to do. And, you know, of course, there's the internet now. So starting a business now, you can find out a lot of information, find a lot of places to source products and whatnot. But, you know, I want them to survive. I want them to do well. And that's why I do it. You know, if I could, if somebody would pay me to do ads, you know, or, you know, support the show in any way, yeah, I would probably do it. But I'm not going to cut off things like that plug for the White King Coffee Company and Keystone Chapter affiliation. You know, because, you know, again, same thing with the pandemic, raising money with the Keystone Chapter has just been, you know, it's been a challenge this year. You know, we're coming up with other ways. And speaking of that, real quickly, before I let you go, we're doing t-shirt sales for the Keystone Chapter. And I would love to do not just a t-shirt, which at the beginning, that's all it's going to be. I would love to do like a whole, I don't want to say storefront, but basically a whole storefront full of print-on-demand products. You know, it doesn't cost you anything to start. I've already designed one t-shirt that, don't tell anybody, but I've ordered one, both to see the quality of the t-shirt and to make sure I did the layout okay. And I ordered it for someone in the organization, so I hope it fits. And I hope the quality is good because, you know, the pricing that our cost on it isn't too crazy. So we could sell them to our members for less than $15, probably less than $14, you know, depending on how much shipping is. But initially, it may be cheaper for us to go because we're going to buy a whole bunch in one shot. It may be cheaper for us to go to, you know, print place, you know, screener or whatever, you know, because then we could just go pick them up and distribute them ourselves, and that would cut out shipping costs, which shipping for this t-shirt is $4. So we'll see. But, you know, I like doing that. I like doing, you know, again, something I shouldn't do because it takes me forever to do it, but I liked laying out that t-shirt and, you know, we'll see how it turns out. So I'm really excited. It should be printed by now and hopefully making its way to me, and then I will give it to the person who he ordered it for. And I'm interested to see what her reaction is. If it's, you know, hopefully it's nice. If it's terrible, I'm not going to give it to her. okay, I'm going to stop talking about it now. But that is what I have this week. And let me know what you think about starting another podcast. If you have some ideas for me, I'd be happy to take a listen. And again, you could reach out 646-926-6350. You have up to 3 minutes to leave a voicemail if you want to do it that way. And I've had some trouble with that's a Google Voice number. So I'm hoping I get to keep it because I've been getting emails saying they're going to shut it off in June. So hopefully that is not the case and I can figure out how to keep it because I do like that number. And obviously it's the one I've been using from the beginning here. You can also shoot me an email, icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. Remember, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence, but it's only 7 characters long, icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. As always, all show notes are available over on the website, icantseeyou.com. This is episode 125, so to go directly to the episode, icantseeyou.com/125. Usually, though, the most current 3 episodes are on icantseeyou.com, the homepage, right at the top, and you can take a look there. And again, I do appreciate you listening. I hope you're staying safe, you're well. I'm looking forward to getting the second jab, so I feel a little better off going out into public. And thanks again for listening. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast with David. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. And don't forget to share the podcast with your friends.